Welcome to episode 283 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on May 16th, 2022. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, we welcome Andrew Connell as a guest on the show. Andrew Connell is a web developer with a focus on Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365. He has received Microsoft's MVP award every year since 2005 and has helped thousands of developers through the various courses he thus authored and taught both in person and in online courses. His training company, Voitanos at www.voitanos.io, is dedicated to delivering industry-leading on-demand video training for Microsoft 365 and Microsoft Azure professional developers. Throughout the years, Andrew has been fortunate enough to share what he has learned at the conferences like Microsoft's TechEd, Build, Ignite, and the SharePoint Conference, the European SharePoint Conference, 365 EDUCon, formerly SharePoint Fest, and Angular's ngConf and AngularU, among many others all around the world in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. I'm without Scott today. Because I don't have Scott here today, I pulled in a retired podcaster. I pulled in Andrew Connell, or he invited himself in. I think, are you on podcast withdrawals, Andrew, now that you're not doing it?
No, not really. I like being on this side where I'm not running the show and I just get to talk.
You just get to show up and talk?
Yeah. I just get to be a pretty voice. How's that? Not the pretty face.
There you go. Perfect. So yes, we have Andrew Connell here to talk about. So you've been doing SPFX for years and years, or SharePoint development. Like, you go back with SharePoint development even further than I do with SharePoint admin. So we decided we're going to talk about something completely unrelated to SharePoint.
That's a great idea. I like to tell people that I've been doing SharePoint development since 2003, which is much longer than I recommend. Any, like, 9 out of 10 doctors don't recommend that. It's been so long that I've already been an alcoholic, been through 12 steps, and I'm back to being an alcoholic. That's a joke.
Got it. Yeah. So we're going to talk about bicep and working out. Yeah. Curls. Lots of curls. Nobody can see the video. Nobody can see. Andrew's flexing for me over here. So you have been doing stuff with bicep as of late. And I have done some stuff with Terraform, but I have never done anything with bicep. And Scott and I have actually talked about it. We've been like, you know what? We should get someone to come on. We should dive into bicep. We've never done it. And then you decided, hey, I want to come out of retirement for an episode and talk to you guys about bicep. So here we are.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, it's been just something different. I'm big into CI and CD, right? And a whole automation of all that stuff. I've always wanted to spend more time like doing things with like infrastructure as code, because that's like the final, when it comes to something that doesn't have a UI to it, that's like the final like full circle thing that I wanted to do. And what I like about this, ARM has always been like just way too cumbersome. Those ARM templates, just way too cumbersome to go through and to work with, to create your resources in Azure. And the first demo I saw of Bicep, I'm like, that looks a lot easier. Where's the rest of the complexity to it? I started diving in. I was like, you know what? I was doing a session at a conference just actually this past week about provision, CI and CD and full automation of Azure functions. And I was like, okay, let me see if I can go through and add this too. So I added Bicep to it and got, you know, cut my teeth on Bicep and everything, and really, really like it. It's surprising how fast you can be productive with it.
With Bicep, like, you come from a dev background. I come from more of an infrastructure background. So my development experience was, I used to write C# a long time ago, like in college. And lately I do a bunch of PowerShell stuff. I don't come from the dev background. I've done some Terraform and I didn't find that too hard to dive into. But I'm curious, from a developer's perspective with like Bicep, is, I'm trying to think how to phrase it. Like, is it easy to go from a developer where you're used to writing maybe JavaScript or some of those things into Bicep? I don't know how much you've done with PowerShell. How is it compared to like relating PowerShell for someone that may be coming from an infrastructure side? Or is it just like easy all around?
Yes, I have PowerShell experience, but I don't like PowerShell. I'm more of a CLI type person. So I use the Azure CLI for everything that I do in Azure. Or same with 365. I do like use the CLI for Microsoft 365 and don't use the PowerShell stuff that they provide, or the PMP stuff. I think Bicep is, so where ARM was more expressive for IT pros, administrators to be able to create resources, I find Bicep to be a much friendlier, it's really friendly for devs, but I think it would be even more friendly, just as friendly for IT pros as well. It's similar to Terraform in a way, but the intention that Microsoft had when they created Bicep was they wanted to create a domain-specific language, so DSL, just for ARM. They wanted it to have like type checking. They wanted to have IntelliSense. They wanted to be able to have good like dependency checking to make sure that, like, for example, if you're going to create an Azure Function app, you need to have a server farm that you're going to tie it to. So how do you go about doing that? And it's the tools that they provide you. There's like two things you need. Well, there's one thing that you need, but there's really two things you want to get. And it makes it so much easier once you have these things installed. And it's just so easy to test stuff. I mean, you can create things in Azure. If you understand Bicep, you can create stuff in Azure so much faster that way. There's a learning curve, like with everything, but it's a very natural transition from a developer. And I would suspect as a IT pro who is used to writing PowerShell, you would also find it to be pretty easy to pick up.
Okay. So you got started and we've talked about Terraform a little bit. So Bicep is Azure only. And I think Scott and I talked about that in one of the podcasts when we were talking about Terraform, is that Bicep is Azure only. However, you could use Terraform for Azure. It also works for other things. Did you look at, like when you started getting into this, why Bicep versus Terraform? Did you look at that at all or compare the two of them?
I did. I don't have anything against Terraform. I liked Bicep because it's all, like, if I'm not mistaken, with Terraform, you're going to compile the Terraform, I forget what it's called, like just let's just call it a template file. You're going to compile it down to an ARM JSON template. Bicep works the same way. So when Azure gets it, it's still getting an ARM template. But what I like about Bicep, one of the things I like about Bicep is that, well, first of all, it's new. So it's kind of a cool thing to play with.
Right. And furthermore, we always like new stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm also like, I'm in the info product space. So I do a lot of like writing and recording and teaching and stuff. And so you always want to focus on a new thing because that's what people are looking for. So that's one of the itches I was trying to scratch. And also because the docs on it they're good, but there's a lot of gaps. Like there's a lot of like, one of the things that I rage went into it. I was trying to figure out how to use Bicep with Azure Functions and there was hardly anything out there. My Google foo was showing nothing. My YouTube foo was showing nothing. And I was like, well, damn it, I'm going to figure this stuff out and I'm going to do something about it. And so that was a big reason I went into it. When response that I got from some people, like when I talked about this at this conference session last week, they asked, well, why would I use this instead of using something like Terraform? I'm like, okay, I get that there's people who are doing like cross cloud stuff, but I mean, let's face it. I mean, most of us are single cloud. And I don't see myself putting my stuff in AWS anytime soon. And I don't see most people who are doing stuff in like Azure, doing stuff in both clouds. So I was like, that's why I'm going with Bicep.
Okay.
And I like the experience.
Yeah, because that's kind of, again, I haven't spent months and months or years working with it, but everything I've seen, it seems like Bicep and Terraform are pretty similar, with one of the biggest things being multi-cloud versus Azure only.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any arguments a whole lot outside of that, of one versus the other.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not out there.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't know how much you can argue as one being better than the other one. I've seen a couple things that are a little bit different between them, aside from cross-platform or cross-cloud platform. Aside from that, not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. And Sean was saying, I was looking at the chat here too. Mm-hmm. Sean was saying that Bicep is also stateless compared to Terraform, so you don't need to protect that state file in Bicep like you do if you're doing Terraform.
Yeah, that's true. I did see that as one benefit to it. Bicep just seems lightweight. I mean, honestly, when I create something and then I'd say like create a storage account and then I'd run the deployment and it would just work. Yep. I'm like, it feels like there's a bit of magic. Like, you know, the Hello World example, like, oh my God, it just worked and that was quick.
So, and it looks like I did a little bit of looking too. It looks like with Bicep, it's built right into the AZ CLI. So you can do like AZ Bicep versus Terraform, where it's a whole separate installer and they have their own separate set of commands that you need to learn in Terraform and all of that.
Yeah. The getting started, like to get to Hello World with this is really simple. So there's two things you have to do. If you already have the Azure CLI installed, you're almost good to go. If you don't, there's one, you want to get the Azure CLI installed. So it doesn't come included with the Azure CLI. If you do AZ space Bicep space version, then the Azure CLI will either tell you what version of the Bicep extension you have installed, or it'll say, you don't have it installed, install it by saying AZ space Bicep space install, then you're done. I mean, it's like really, really quick. If, like I see Scott in the chat just mentioned, if you're using like the Cloud Shell, or if you're in like GitHub Actions or Azure DevOps, then that version of the Azure CLI does have it already installed. You don't have to worry about it. So that's cool. And what I like about that is that then when you want to go through and run a deployment, all you're going to do is just say, you don't even have to tell it you're using Bicep. You just say like, see if I can remember this off the top of my head, AZ deployment group create, those are separate words. There's a couple parameters you have to pass in. And one of the parameters is, what's the name of the template file? And you simply point to your Bicep file. You don't have to compile it down to a JSON file, an ARM JSON file. You can just pass it straight down to your Bicep file. This is another thing that I really like too about Bicep over ARM, is that with ARM, you can create like a template or like a parameters file where yep. you have like name value pairs you pass in with the template. And I think you can do this too with ARM. But what I like about it is that I can pass in name value pairs right in the Azure CLI, with my Bicep file. I can put individual like name value pairs in at the exact same time. So it allows me to specify all that stuff going in. It just makes it a nice seamless story in that sense. The other thing that you're going to want when you're doing stuff, when you're creating like a Bicep file, is there's a Bicep extension for VS Code that you really want to go get. Now, it's not perfect because it will tell you things that are not like valid and stuff, and then you go run it and it shows they work. But that's kind of the nature of the pre-V1 of Bicep today, but it still is pretty good. So it gives you like the IntelliSense. It gives you the fact that, you know, when you look in the little icons of like the Bicep icon with the little yep. robot, you know, flexing, when it gives you, IntelliSense type checking, linting as well, all that stuff's in the file. So and it gives you a really cool visualizer. That's really slow. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have not seen the visualizer.
So that's cool. So I'll include a couple videos that you can put in the show notes of some Bicep stuff that I've done. But what's cool about it is that on the visualizer, so you can do this split screen when you're in VS Code. And as you're creating your resources, each resource will show up in the visualizer as you're creating it. And one of the cool things with that is that as you're creating as you're creating those resources, when one resource depends on another resource, it draws a link like a hierarchy between the two. Even so much as that if you have one Bicep file, we call them modules. So if you create main.bicep, that's a module.
Okay.
That module can create resources inside of it. It can have input parameters. It can have outputs as well. And it can call other Bicep files. And so when one Bicep file calls a second Bicep file, when you look at the visualization for the main one, the child one is going to show up as like a separate like container in the visualization. And inside that container, you see the resources that it's creating or that it's provisioning.
Got it. So those separate modules then could be a single resource, like a VM, or it could be like a whole series of resources contained within that one module?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So
does this mean I don't have to draw network diagrams anymore for documentation? Is this like the IT pros self-documenting code type thing?
Yes. So this is one of the things that I was like jumping up and down on stage on last week. One of the things I love about this, one of the things I love about all kinds of CI and CD, and especially with the infrastructure as code stuff, is that I think that for people like me, people like you, and what I suspect the majority of your listeners, I'm trying at the same time to find a picture of what that visualization looks like from a blog post I just wrote to put in the chat for everybody. Oh yeah, here it is. Let's see, which one is it? Let me just pull this up really quick. Da, 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 da. This one, this one, this one, this one.
Oh, he just one-upped you in the chat.
He just one-upped me. Yeah. So the one below is the one from two videos I just posted on YouTube. But kudos, Sean. You put the picture in there while I was like trying to find a picture. But yeah, so what's neat about it is that I find that people like us, so the greater us of you and me on the call and everybody that's listening, that writing and reading prose style documentation is just tedious. But if you need, like, if you're going to need to see, like, how do all these resources like interact with each other, or how are they associated with each other in Azure? If I gave you a Bicep file, without it, maybe it's, you know, got some comments in there as well, but as you're running through all that stuff, it expresses exactly the way things are supposed to be created, in what order and how they're related to each other, just like in a CI and CD pipeline and a bunch of workflows explain, here's how you build it, here's how you test it, and here's how you deploy it, and here's what goes into production, here's what goes into staging. It's all about, number one, it kind of expresses, this is what desired state is, which is where the bicep file is, and then the workflows that go along with it is, and here's how to get everything up and running and working. To me, if I was given those files and I understand GitHub Actions and I understand what bicep is, I can look at all of this and say, I'd rather look at this than look at the documentation and prose style like Word doc to try and go through and read all that. I think it's easier for us to digest.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
Well, and I even feel like if you are using Bicep, and I guess this leads to another question. So if you want to go in and make a change, you wrote a bunch of these Azure functions and you were doing stuff with Azure functions and you need to change one of them. Mm-hmm. Do you just go in and update your Bicep file and redeploy it?
So,
and those changes take effect, or how do you make updates now to those Azure resources?
Okay, so there's two things, right? So there's the Azure function and then there's the Azure function app. So the app is the resource in Azure. The Azure function is not so much a resource. That's like code.
That's just the code. Got it.
Right. Okay. So I like to separate those two things, because if you're talking the stuff that you would look at, I like to look at it as this. If you go no further than looking at the contents of a resource group, that's what you can do in Bicep. Okay.
Okay.
There are some other, you can go a little bit further. It depends on what you're doing, but you can go a little bit further. Like in the, I'll put a link to a blog post, but like the Bicep file that I created and was shown in my session last week, we created a Azure app configuration resource and I added two keys to it as my defaults. All right.
Okay.
But the Azure function app has nothing in it. So what I would do then is I have my Azure function app, my code, C#, Node, whatever it is.
Yep.
After I go through my deployment of my infrastructure, so after my Bicep file is run to provision all the resources, if that succeeded, if all my tests succeeded, then I can deploy my app, which contains my Azure functions. So if I needed to make a change to the code or add a new function to it, I would not do that in Bicep. I'd do that in my code.
Okay.
If though I wanted to change like a setting on, like if I wanted to add a new deployment slot in my Azure function app, or if I wanted to change the value of one of the app settings in one of the slots, I could do all of that in a Bicep file, which is what I do.
Got it. So if you're adding a deployment slot, do you just update that original Bicep file then?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And
so what's almost like, I think you can do this with ARM as well. When you go to run it, to test it, you can do a what if flag and it will show you, here's what we're going to change. It'll look at where you're telling it to send it. And there's like two ways that it runs, complete or incremental. Incremental is by default. So it will look at the resources and it will say like, oh, here's the stuff I'm going to change when we run this deployment. So you can get a preview of what's actually going to change before it actually changes.
Got it. So as long as you're aware enough and disciplined enough to make any updates to those Azure resources and Bicep, the other advantage, and this is where I started going with all of that, is now you don't need to remember to go update that documentation to match the changes you made to your resources. You're just always making those changes in Bicep. Your visualization's always updating and you make sure kind of the documentation stays in sync then with what you've actually done.
Yeah, it does. And if you've done what you're supposed to do and you write good tests and everything, you test your code and stuff, the cool thing about it is that when you actually send this, when you push this stuff out and your automation runs, like your GitHub Actions or your Azure DevOps pipeline, when it all runs, it's not like from the way that I have it is that my it has to build and all the tests have to pass before it provisions the infrastructure. Then
okay.
provision the infrastructure. And the there's only, and the way I do it is there's only two things that you have to do. I guess two things where the second thing is like 2A and 2B that you have to do in Azure to get this stuff to work. So first step is go create a, well, this is where we get into, I think, I don't know if you want to talk about CI and CD a little bit with this and how this is cool.
I was, so that was where I was going to go next was we keep okay. talking about like provisioning all of these. And I was going to ask you Azure pipelines or GitHub Actions or how you do all of your CI CD
so,
with the bicep files.
Yeah. So you can do it with the Azure CLI. So AZ deployment. So in my case, I'm going to point to a resource group. So say Azure or AZ deployment group, and then create a deployment, and then I pass in my bicep file. So you could do that from the command line on your laptop. I did that to test some stuff. The way I like to do it is I prefer GitHub Actions over Azure DevOps, but I mean, there's nothing, one doesn't give you something the other one doesn't, and specifically in this scenario. But actually, by the time your podcast goes live, there'll be a blog post out where I actually talk about all the workflows and stuff that I use, or there's a video, and I have a video on YouTube that I can go grab and put that in the chat for people to look at, but that, I'll give that to you too, so you can put that in the show notes.
Perfect.
But what I do then is I have a workflow that runs, when a GitHub workflow that runs. Oh, sorry, let me back up.
Okay.
Let's say I have my project. What do I need to do in Azure in order for this thing to be able to work? So I'm going to go over to Azure. I'm going to create a new app registration in Azure AD and give it a name. Just don't do anything else. Click OK. And then on the credential screen, I can go in and set use the new capability for a managed identity and the trusted or the federated credentials. So I go into the federated credentials and I say, effectively, when GitHub asks for a token from Azure AD to go log in as an identity, if that request comes from this, from GitHub for this organization, for this repository and on this branch, on the master branch, then automatically authenticate it. So there's no secret, there's no certificate, there's nothing to expire. It just says automatically trust that branch. So I set that up. It's really slick. I showed that in the video.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's really slick. So you do that and then you create a resource group and you give that Azure AD app owner rights on that resource group.
Okay.
So then I need to go get like four things, the name of the resource group, the subscription ID in Azure, the tenant ID in Azure, and the app ID that we just created, add those as secrets into the GitHub repo, and now my workflows will all run. So when I push to master, what happens is that at first it runs through all my tests. So build the project, run all my tests, assuming it's a green build, go to the next step. Step two is, deploy the infrastructure. And that is use the secrets to log in via the Azure CLI from GitHub and then run a deployment that's then going to pass in your bicep file with any of your name value parameters. And it goes through and it figures out that, okay, we're using this resource group. We're logging in for with this bot or with this Azure AD app that Andrew configured. And now I can do I can create a deployment and do a full provisioning of all the resources up into that resource group. And when that finishes, it goes to the next stage, which is now deploy the app. And so that's where it goes in and says, that workflow, what it does is it says, first use the Azure CLI to say, to log in and grab from the bicep file, the bicep deployment we just ran. And one of the outputs that I give it is the name of the Azure Function app that was created by Bicep. And I take that to download in memory during the workflow, download the publishing profile for the Azure function and use that as the way to deploy to the staging slot that was provisioned for that Azure function app by the bicep file. And ta-da, it's all done.
It's all done. So you have everything combined into one workflow if you want to, from the provisioning of the services to deploying the Azure function code, start to finish, push go and it's all there.
Yep. It's one workflow, three different jobs, test, deploy infrastructure, deploy app. And everyone requires the prior one to pass to go green or the other ones won't pass. So I'm not deploying the code if the infrastructure fails. I'm not going to deploy the infrastructure if the build fails. And if you make any changes in the future, same thing. It'll automatically make sure that the resources are all configured to create the resource or to update the resource with the desired settings before the app is deployed. And then I have a whole nother process I go through on how do I roll from staging over to production. That's beyond the bicep stuff. I'm happy to talk about it, but that's more like Azure Function stuff now. So
got it. Yeah, that's getting too developer-y. Like bicep's kind of flirting with the line here.
There you go. It's cool.
So are you just doing it with Azure Functions right now, or have you kind of taken bicep and started moving into any other services or resources in Azure? Which ones have you played with?
So for the ones specifically to that Azure Function, I'm using Storage V2, App Insights, a server farm, a function app. Let's see, what else did I do? Azure App Configuration. I also used created deployment slots because those are separate resources. Gets a little hairy when if you've done anything with Azure Functions or Azure Web Apps, you know that you can have app settings and those settings can have slot configurations. So there's a way in Bicep to say that this is a slot specific app setting. So don't swap it when you do a swap.
Got it.
And then the other one that I did, this one's pretty cool, is that when you do a, when you want to set up RBAC, I have a separate Bicep module that I created that my main one calls that will go get the existing role definition for the reader role for app configuration. And it uses that role definition that it got to create a role assignment, granting the function app a managed identity reader rights on the app configuration. So I guess RBAC, Azure Function App, Azure Hosting Plan or Service Plan, an ASP, an Application Service Plan, or an App Service Plan, App Insights, Storage, and App Configuration. Yeah, so that's what I play with so far.
Got it. Very cool. So as you dove into this, at the very outset of all of this, you mentioned you started looking for Azure Function stuff and your Google Foo was stumping you and you just talked about all those different resources you did. If other people are getting started with Bicep, one, are there any challenges that you kind of had an aha moment that you'd want to impart that wisdom to other people trying to learn, or recommendations for how you got started with Bicep and you would say, go do these two or three things. Go watch my hour and a half video on YouTube of, I looked at the time of them because you mentioned they were long. So I had to go look them up and I was like, oh, that, he wasn't kidding. That's like an hour and a half of YouTube video. Anything that you would say, go check this out when you're getting started with Bicep?
Sure. Yeah. So first the Bicep piece to it, that video is 21 minutes. The other video that talks about doing CI and CD that leverages the Bicep file you create, that's more specific CI and CD with Azure Functions and GitHub Actions. That one was like 40 minutes long. So the 20 minute one is like, I'm going through it in, you know, piece by piece. And so it doesn't take long to create one of these, even when it's being annotated. So lessons learned, what I wish I had known beforehand. Yes. So there's a bunch. I wish that I knew that the documentation was, let's just say it leaves some to be desired. What would have helped was if someone had told me what I'm about to tell you, which is, all of the ARM stuff is applicable to Bicep. So what I mean by that is go create a resource. If you're not sure how to create it, go create a resource in, this takes a second to explain really quick, but
that's fine. We got time.
So let's say you create an Azure Function. Let's say you want to learn how to create an Azure Function using ARM, an ARM template or Bicep. Then what you could do today is go create it using the Azure portal. And then once it's created, you can go into the resource and you can export the ARM template that was used to provision it, right?
Yep.
So you can do that same thing today. You can't download a Bicep file, but what you can do is you can decompile the ARM template to Bicep.
Got it.
So that's super helpful, except some people think like, well, I'll just design it this way, export it, and I'll include that in my project. I wouldn't recommend that because what you're going to get is like, let's just say that Azure Function is probably going to be 150 lines of Bicep code just to be able to create that Azure Function app. When in reality, it only needs to be about 10 or 15 because you can accept all these defaults. So what I found was, so go iterative, have your console open on one side, have the Azure portal open on the other side, go create what you actually want it to create, export the template, the ARM file, decompile it to Bicep, and then start creating from scratch a Azure Function app. And as it fails, when it's like, I'm missing this, go look at the bicep file that was that you've generated from the real resource to see what the options were that were available to you. Because there's sometimes, like when you're doing, like when you want to choose a SKU for a server plan, it doesn't enumerate all the options that you can choose from the bicep extension in Visual Studio Code. But if you're over in, if you're creating a storage account and you choose what kind of storage account, so locally redundant, geo redundant, stuff like that,
yep,
it does give you a list of all of your options. So it's not, that's part of the not V1 thing that we that we're dealing with. And I found it was just easier to work from a template of what you'd already created. That's one big tip that I would have. The other tip that I would have is that all of the resources you can create, go look at the docs for ARM. They now have been updated for to show the bicep equivalent or the ARM equivalent. So they have tabs at the for each one. So you can see what each one is. And then the properties in the description, it lists out, here's all the different things that are available to you and what the properties mean and all that kind of jazz.
Okay,
yeah,
good tips.
Those two things really would have helped me a ton. And go watch my videos.
And go watch your videos. And one last question.
Yeah.
Voitanos,
yes,
has been SharePoint framework. Are we going to see a Voitanos course on Bicep that can also help us a ton? You can plead the fifth if you want to.
I will be completely upfront about this. There's not many resources that are out there about it. So there certainly is an opportunity. But as somebody who's done this in the past, I want to know if there's actually a market for it first. So would I build a course on it? Absolutely. If I knew there was potential, there was a market for it and there were customers that would actually buy the course. I don't know. I mean, I would be interested in it, but I want to get feedback from people. I want to do research on it. Right now, I'm working on some stuff around Azure Functions.
So okay.
I've done stuff for like the professional developer for SharePoint framework and for becoming a certified M365 dev. But I'm starting to move more. I really want to do more courses on the Azure side. So right now I'm focused on like Azure Function stuff, but and Bicep is going to be a part of that. But would I do a Bicep specific course? I mean, sure. It's definitely something I would be interested in doing. I don't know if people would be interested in it yet. I haven't done the market research on it yet. So I don't know.
Got it. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, have to wait and see or give me feedback.
Yes, I was going to say, if people want to go get in touch with you or give you feedback or tell you that they want you to do a Bicep course, what are some ways people can go find you, get in touch with you, give you feedback,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera?
So easy way to find me on Twitter, either my account just at Andrew Connell or the Voitanos account at Voitanos to kind of get a taste on like if you, you know, is this the kind of person I would want to learn from? Do I like his style? Stuff like that. Well, the easy way is try before you buy. Go to the Voitanos YouTube channel. It's youtube.tv. And I've got a video on there that I'll also include in your show notes, or I'll give it to you to include your show notes on creating Azure Functions with Bicep. And you can see what the pitch looks like there. And if that gives you enough of what you're looking for, well, then I've already given you your aspirin. But if you want to learn how to do a lot more stuff and you'd like a course on it, leave a comment in the YouTube video, leave a comment on Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And that's where I'm looking to see what people are interested in. So yeah, I'd love it. That's one of the reasons I want to come on your show is not only talk about Bicep, but to see what people's interest is, cards on the table. So yeah, if people's interests are there, I'd love to work on a course on it. I think it's a really cool tech and it's easy to understand.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, we'll put links to all of your Twitter, YouTube, websites, courses, anything else that you want us to in the show notes. So if people are listening, go sign up for the email newsletter. They'll be in there. Go check out the show notes for the website. It will be there. And yeah, go give AC some feedback. Let them know what you want to learn about and what courses you want. So thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
It was fun to have you on.
Thanks for having me on the show too. It was really nice not to have to be interviewed and not do an interview.
Not be the one trying to come up with the questions and ask the questions.
You had some good questions though. I was thinking like, I'd like to talk about this stuff. And then you show me the questions. I was like, heck yeah, man, you nailed it. That's perfect.
Yeah, that was kind of funny because instead of asking you for questions, I came up with some and said, this is what I was thinking. And we happened to be in sync with it. I don't know. Maybe that's kind of scary too.
Well, that's good though, because right there, that's like, that's what I would prefer to do, because if you haven't spent time with Bicep, but you have context on what it is, then, you know, get the question so that that's what most people are going to be coming to the table with. So get a little bit of like, what is it and why would you use it? And then from there, okay, let me go ask some questions now that I have some context. So,
yep. For sure. Awesome. Well, thanks again. Go enjoy the rest of your whatever day it is, Monday.
Monday.
It's still Monday.
Still Monday. First day back from being gone for a week.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you were out at the conference last week. So thanks for coming on while you're trying to unbury from email and being out for a week.
All good, man. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity, and it was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
All right. Good to hear. And we will, I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. Have you on again in the future.
Awesome. Sounds good, man.
If you have a question you'd like to ask us to answer in a future episode, you can reach out to us on Twitter at MS Cloud IT Pro or through the MS Cloud IT Pro podcast members Discord, where we have conversations. We talked about some of the questions today around Bicep. And if you want access to that, you can sign up for our monthly membership. A monthly membership gives you access to this Discord for chatting and participating in the show as we record each week. You'll also get access to our To the Cloud streams on YouTube, where we dive into configuring and using features and services across Azure and Microsoft 365. If you want to sign up for a membership, head over to msclouditpro.com/membership. And thank you so much to everyone who has supported the show and to our sponsor this week, IntelliJink. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.